This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. Okay, it's a delight to have here on BPN Radio today a man that has been my friend for, well, since 1986, and what a blessing he and his wife, Debbie, have been to Gene and I over the years. And it's an honor to have today a man that puts out a wisdom article regularly by email that I love to read, and it's called Wisdom for Daily Life. And so it's good to have Ken Brummett on today from the great state of Oklahoma, from Tulsa. And Ken is the founder and CEO of BioChem Industries Incorporated. And Ken, welcome to BPN today.
Thank you, Dale. Your friendship and Gene's friendship to us, we've met a lot over the years. You're someone we always point to, who has stayed the course. Who, when we met you, you had your face set on one thing, and that was to call people to prayer.
Yeah.
And we've been a part of that.
Yes, you have.
We really appreciate and respect you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. And when I first met you, of course, as you said, I was talking about prayer, ministering on prayer. And 29 years later, it's still going. I'm still doing it now here 24 hours a day. Tell us a little bit about your company and maybe your background.
Okay. Well, our company, BioChem Industries, is dedicated to discovery, development, and delivery, or bringing to market environmental remediation processes or compositions, primarily scientific compositions. In other words, we find in nature things that God has placed there that enabled us to go into a sick environment and help heal it. I specialize in the art of water, wastewater, recreational water, and we're now bringing a natural product to the potable or drinking water market that will take the place of chemicals. We specialize in biological or physical compositions that do what chemicals do, that really have made our environment sick in some ways.
Well, I know that I know you're a very gifted man, a very multi-talented man. You're a businessman, and you also have a great ministry gift. And how have you been able to make those two work together? How is business and teaching or ministering the God? How's it all merging together?
Well, you know, we're on a path. Everyone's on a path, and we don't always see the end from the beginning. Only God sees that. From the time I was a child, I've been in church. My father was a pastor and was a contemporary of yours, actually.
Right.
And I gained a respect for the ministry, yet I wasn't sure that I was called to the ministry. But Deborah and I spent some years in ministry as staff, as well as leading some churches. But I couldn't get away from a call to business. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, hard for some people to understand. It was hard for me to understand. But,
yeah.
You know, one of the most important things we do is we learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that at each step, when we made decisions, we were hearing God, which points to the fact that it's important when you know that you've heard from God, never look back on those decisions, second-guess yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this subject of wisdom has been a focus of my life. When I was 22, I had been working at a bank. I was chief teller at Fourth National Bank in Tulsa. And we wanted to start a family. Deborah and I had been married for a couple of years, and I didn't make enough money to support a family without her holding a full-time job. So I looked for a new job, and I accepted a job with an insurance company that would require me to manage a territory and go door-to-door selling insurance. Well, my father-in-law, who actually had been my father's prayer partner, my father was a pastor, and Leonard had been a deacon and was his prayer partner, but he knew me very well, and he called me. He tried to convince me not to accept that job. He said, I love you, but you're a wallflower. We have a family gathering, and we look for you, and you're standing back in the corner by yourself. You'll starve. Well, maybe I need to prove that I can do this. But, you know, I went to work for the company. It's called Liberty National Life Insurance Company. And I had 2 weeks of training by a man that was gifted, Harvey Wildreyer, a fine man. And on the third week, I was turned out to do the job by myself. And as I was driving from Tulsa down to my territory, which was 20 miles away, I began to realize, I can't do this. And I was afraid. I didn't know where to turn. There were no cell phones in those days for me to call somebody. So I pulled over on the side of the road, and I always carried a little Bible with me that my dad had given me when I entered the military. I hadn't read it much, to be honest, but I reached up and grabbed it, and I prayed a prayer, and I said, Lord, I don't know who to ask to help me. And I was sitting there, I remembered Solomon had written the wisdom scriptures. And so I opened to the 19th chapter. This was April 19th, 1974. And I said, Lord, I'm going to read a chapter today, and I'll read a chapter every day, and I'll treat it as though it's instruction to me. Mm-hmm. And so I read the 19th chapter a couple of times that morning, sitting on the side of the road. And there were three things that really were pointed out to me. First of all, it's better to walk in integrity and be poor than to be deceitful. Uh-huh. But it might be important for a salesperson. And it says that a false witness won't go unpunished, but he that speaks lies will perish. And then it says a man's wisdom dispers his anger. It's his glory to pass over this, a transgression. Mm-hmm. So as I worked through that day, I made an appointment with a family, and I came back in the evening and rang the doorbell, and a man came to the door, and he looked me up and down, and he asked me if I knew of another company, and I said, yes, sir, I do. I'm new in this industry, but I do know the company. And he said, well, their representative came by here. He didn't have anything good to say about you. And I remember those scriptures. And so I said, well, he works for a very good company, and they hire very good people. I'm sure he just doesn't know me. And he waited a moment, and then he said, you know, I like the way you handle yourself, and I don't like it when people bash other people. Come on in. And he was my first client in business the very first day out. And it really came down to following the direction that I had seen in the book of Proverbs. So over the years, not every day of my life, but over those years from 1974 till now, I've been in the book of Proverbs, and I've read and studied the principles that are there. Mm-hmm. And what happens over a period of time, you go from knowing a verse of scripture that says something or another verse that says the same thing to the point where it builds a foundation for successful life. It builes an instruction, if you will, almost like an instruction manual for a life of wisdom. Mm-hmm. It builds a strategy for a successful future, whatever that future is for any person. Mm-hmm. It's like it says in the first chapter, it gives a young man knowledge and discretion. So I started at that time, and over the years, I would write from time to time. At one time, I tried to recruit people that would share together mm-hmm. about the issue of wisdom for daily life. And people would ask me for what I was writing, but they didn't necessarily contribute. Out of that grew what we have now, which we call wisdom strategies, that is wisdom for daily life. And we write these, and I don't have a schedule, but I write it as I have something to say, and a list of people who have asked to receive that email each time. Mm-hmm. So we have people receiving the Wisdom Strategy email, from people we've known in church to people that we've been neighbors with to people who are captains in industry that I've never met, but somehow read this, somebody gave it to them, and they send an email to us and say, include me on your list. Well, out of that, there's a gentleman that runs a company in Dallas, a rather large company, international company, and he called me one day and he said, I was in an airport and I sat down next to a man and I was reading your strategy, and he asked me, what are you reading? This was after the oil derrick exploded out in the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. and people were lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I had written about that, and in a sense I had said that we know how many gallons of oil have been lost, but we don't know who the people are or who their families are. At any rate, that was the subject matter. And he said the man read it and started crying, and he said, my son was on that oil location, and a few hours before he was taken off by helicopter to return home.
Mm.
He said they really don't know who he is or who the men were that were lost there. So the strategy started as something that I thought, I have something to say, and if somebody wants to read it, I will send it to them, to a ministry tool for us. Even though I'm in business, it's a full-time ministry tool for me to reach out to people that in some cases I've met, in some cases I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly concur with what you're saying, and you know, probably around 40 years ago, you know, I began to follow the same practice that you've been following for so many, many years, and that is reading the chapter in Proverbs that corresponds to the day of the month. And, you know, I don't do it every day, but I do it most every day. And, you know, when I read these words, wisdom is the principal thing, I thought, well, if that's the principal thing, then I better get that, because I know that Lady Wisdom has so much to say to us about our day-by-day life and living. It covers the whole spectrum, I believe, of our Christian living. And you know, I'm so thankful that Lady Wisdom tells us the principles to live by. And so every day when I read the chapter, I do pray that you know, the Bible, James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, abrades not. And so I just say, Lord, I really need wisdom today. So I concur. And I'm so thankful that you are writing these wisdom strategies and the wisdom for daily life. And I read them and I'm blessed by them. And how do we, Ken, how do we get wisdom?
Well, really, there are a couple of things that are involved here. You quoted James, where it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally and upbraids not. It means that it's not like we might do as a parent sometime, or as an employer, or as a friend, where somebody asks for something and we say, well, okay, it's a little bit inconvenient right now, but I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
God doesn't upbraid. He's
right.
Happy to give it to us. But then it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for mm-hmm. he that wavers is like a wave of the sea,
mm-hmm.
tossed and blown mm-hmm. about. Don't let that man think he'll receive anything from God.
Yeah.
And it points back to when Solomon himself received wisdom, because when David was about to die, he gave instructions to his son Solomon, who would follow mm-hmm. him as the king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he told him how to build a temple, and he told him how to deal with life. But then he said, God's going to ask you what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Ask him for wisdom and understanding. And so when the Lord came to Solomon and asked him, ask me what you want. Ask me what you want me to give you. And he mm-hmm. said, give me now wisdom and knowledge, for no one can judge your people. It's too big a task.
Yeah.
But then God responded. He said, you haven't asked for the neck of your enemies or the life of your enemies. You haven't asked for riches or wealth for yourself. You haven't even asked for honor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge to judge my people. He says, I've granted it to you. I've granted you wisdom and knowledge. And he says, I'm going to give you all the other things too.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there'll never be any king like you after you. Well, this is what James was talking about. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When God gave wisdom to Solomon, and he said, I've granted it to you, Solomon began to walk in his life as though he had received it. Mm-hmm. Because we, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll always question ourselves. But if we have wisdom working in us, the wisdom of God, godly wisdom, it will come up in us, and it will be our default, if you will. Like, you turn on your computer, and something comes up mm-hmm. every single time. That's the computer's default. Mm-hmm. It will be our default. We won't have to stop and search our mind for what's right and wrong. We will know instantly yeah. what's right and wrong.
Yeah.
But there also, in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, or you could say it's the foundation upon which wisdom is built.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a requirement, and not just worldly wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But a fear of God, and it doesn't mean I'm afraid of God, though I might be. It means that I have an awe for God,
yeah.
and it's really based on, at its very foundation, a relationship with God and a pursuit of God. A fear of God, that's the foundation or the beginning of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
If we have that, we have something more than worldly wisdom. Now, we need that too, but the wisdom of God will give us wisdom for our daily life. So we ask God, and then we begin to search the Scripture to find out what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
As Solomon said, it's more important and more valuable than gold or rubies or
yeah.
silver or anything. Thing
yeah.
tangibly you can find,
yeah.
it is the key to all those things. It will be life to those who find it and health to all their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that we need in life that we can't have if wisdom is foundational in our lives. But we get it by asking and believing God and searching the Scripture. Like when Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, study to show yourself approved unto God,
mm-hmm.
a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's what Paul was talking about to the Romans, where he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as we search Scriptures and we see the Word of God and we hide it in our heart, as David wrote in Psalm 119, that I might not sin against you, God. As we do that and we ask God in faith, we believe that he will grant it. It is granted to us. And we begin to see things in a different light. I can say that it is the foundation for our company and what our company has become. I am a man who went to a Bible college or a Bible training center, and I went through 2 years of Bible training. I went through some business courses in college. I intended, when I came out of high school, to be a physicist. But in my freshman physics class, my professor said, you're too weak in math. You need to pursue something else. And so I did. At that time in my life, I pursued business. But in 1997, I received an inspiration, if you will, for a scientific composition, which I acted upon and became the first product that our company brought to market. And now, after 19 years nearly, there are nearly 20 products that have come without a degree in physics or chemistry or biology, because truly God, who founded the earth and mm-hmm. placed everything in the earth
mm-hmm.
that's necessary to remediate the earth
mm-hmm.
can give that to us. I remember, Dale, one time asking my father, how do you know what to preach on Sunday? And he said, well, it's important for me as a minister to know the Bible, to know Scripture. And he said, then I go, I study the Word. He said, then I go before God and I ask him, what do you want me to say to these people? Because there is a word from God for these people today at this place. And all I realized was, the same way that a man like yourself who goes to the pulpit and has a word from God based on Scripture to deliver to the people, God can also deliver to me a scientific composition. Or if I was in another line of work, he could deliver to me a secret that I would need to change things for the better in this world. That's the way all of our discoveries, all of the products that I have hold patent on, came about. In fact, the patents say that I am the inventor, but what I really am is the discoverer, mm-hmm. because the ideas came from God.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray, but we also seek God in the Scripture to see the nature of God, and it comes together for us that way.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I want to remind everybody that I'm visiting today with Ken Brummett, and he is the one that puts out the blogs and sends out the emails concerning wisdom, wisdom for daily life, wisdom strategy. And Ken Brummett and his wife Deborah have been our friends for a long, long time. This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station at this time or any time, as we pray for revival in America and other spiritual awakening, and calling America to pray. And it's around the clock, around the globe. And we're talking about wisdom today with our friend and businessman, Ken Brummett. And I really love your strategies. It's amazing what I receive when I read those. You know, Ken, I don't believe there's any more important subject. I've been leading prayer now for a whole year here on VPN Radio, but I've never had anybody on that's really primarily talking about wisdom, and yet it's such an important topic that we need to study, we need to discern, we need to receive. You know, when I for several years, when the church that I was leading had a Christian school, I would speak in chapel from time to time, and most of the time I was talking to them about wisdom, because it is such an integral part of our lives, regardless if we're a businessman, if we're a pastor, if we are in medicine, whatever it may be. We definitely need that wisdom. And out of that wisdom, I believe, there's going to come treasure, because Lady Wisdom, I believe, said she'd fill our treasuries.
That's right.
So I know you've been on a wonderful journey. I know that you had a father who was a leader in his denomination, was the president of a Bible school, and you had a brother that was a very influential man in the state of Oklahoma in the industry. And, you know, there may be people that are listening today that says, I need wisdom in following what God wants me to do, other than maybe what someone else in my family is doing. And you might have a principle of wisdom on how they can find their way, their direction, and not necessarily follow. I'm not sure. I'm sure this may not have been your situation, but so many people today are living out the expectations of a father, a mother, a family member, a mentor in their life. And you know, what wisdom steps does a person take to find their path, what God has designed for them and assigned them to do?
Well, this is really one of the most important questions, I believe. As you search Scripture and you look at the people in the Bible that were influential, you can look at Jesus' life, you can look at the Apostle Paul. Let me just take those two examples, for example. When Jesus entered his ministry, he had a time first where the Scripture says he was driven by the Holy Ghost into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But during that time, he not only was tempted, but he overcame. He came out of that time alone in the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians and said that when I came to the Lord, I didn't confer with flesh and blood, but I first went down into Arabia and I spent time there. Now, history tells us that he may have spent two and a half years alone at a time when he was being taught, as he said, by inspiration of Jesus Christ. He says, I went to Jerusalem, but Peter and James and all those who seemed to be something, and they were, he said, they didn't add anything to me. What I learned by inspiration of Jesus Christ. So what I learned over the years was take time out to be alone, to listen. Mm-hmm. I come from the school that you come from, that it's very important for us to have a prayer life.
Yeah.
I wasn't called to lead in prayer, but it's important that I be a part of that call, right?
Yeah.
But I learned that, as in those two examples, that there are times when the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit wants to draw me aside to hear him. So I went from always carrying my Bible and a notepad and writing down everything that I hear, which was important, and I still have those notes, to times when I went to hear and let it take root in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
This happened to me at a time of Christian ministry when I knew the Holy Ghost was telling me I was going to do something different in the future. And I didn't know what it was. I would tell Deb, I'm going to go off for a weekend, or I'm going to go off for 3 or 4 days and be alone. And when I come back, I'll know what I'm supposed to do. But when I came back, I didn't know. And as I began to know, I couldn't imagine that that was going to be the path for me,
mm-hmm.
that I would return from Christian ministry to business.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, it did come to me, and I knew that this was the step. But it's like one time when I took a youth group to Colorado to go skiing. My younger brother is a pastor in Colorado, enjoying all of that. But we were on the top of a mountain, and one guy says, you know, that peak over there is 14,000 feet. I wish I could go there. He said, boy, it's just going to be so easy to get there. Well, it's easy to see that. But you first have to go down the mountain, and you have to go across a way and then back up the mountain. And at every step you go down, it's a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And as we skied down and we'd stop, I'd look and I'd say, you see that peak? It's different now. There's a different perspective. But this is a key. This is, as Jim Rohn used to say, this is a key to take home.
Mm-hmm.
That perspective paints the same picture 1,000 different ways. But it's important for us to let the Holy Spirit paint his perspective for our life on our hearts, because until we get alone with him, he can't show us who God created, what our purpose is. We develop a picture of the life we're supposed to live by being alone with God who created us. So you take time, first of all, to get alone, undisturbed. You don't take phone calls. You don't send emails or receive emails. You take time alone and you listen for inspiration. You know, I heard Pastor Cho, who pastored the largest church in the world, say one time that before he would meet with his congregation to preach, he would go to Prayer Mountain and he would get in a prayer grotto. And he would first of all tell God everything, not that God didn't know it, but he needed to empty himself. And then he would sit quietly and listen, and God would tell him what he needed to say.
Mm-hmm.
That influenced me toward my practice of spending time alone.
Yeah.
When I'm alone and unbothered,
yeah.
and I take the time to clear myself, then the Holy Spirit speaks to me and gives me direction.
Wow. Well, I certainly concur, Ken. I agree. And how can people get your strategies for wisdom, your wisdom for daily life? How can they receive your articles?
They can send an email to me. And by the way, our philosophy here is we're not going to send it to people unless they want to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But they can send an email to me and just request it. And then we'll have their email address and we'll send it and we publish. But they can send it to my personal email address at kenbrummett@gmail.com. That's KenBrummett, kenbrummett@gmail.com. Just simply request wisdom strategies or wisdom for daily life, and we'll send it. We generally send 2 or 3 out a month.
Well, I certainly enjoy reading your strategies, and you know, I've read quite a few, but probably one of my favorite ones is the one you wrote on Out of Great Adversity. That was that was incredible, and you might want to share a little bit about that if you would like to, and then I want you to conclude our broadcast today in a few moments for praying with people that lack wisdom and need wisdom in their life. So what do you mean, wisdom out of great adversity?
Well, you know, it's an interesting story that surrounds all that, because when our oldest, our daughter, was in college, she had a roommate who was on the college volleyball team, and she was there on scholarship. But they were out one night, and they had a car wreck, and both of her arms were broken. And so she was going to lose her scholarship. So they were all upset, and they called one night and were talking to me about it and expressing the challenge. And so we prayed together, Dale, and as I stopped praying and listening, I heard that out of my inside, out of the spirit, out of great adversity comes greatness. And so I shared that with her, and I wrote it down. It was in my notes. And as I wrote that strategy years later, and I was considering the subject matter and looking back on my life, I realized that at every point in my life where something great happened, it was out of adversity. Out of great adversity comes greatness. Mm-hmm. To think that a guy who wanted to be a scientist but was told by the scientific community, if you will, that he was not smart enough. He didn't mm-hmm. have enough foundation in math. He didn't have the basics. Mm-hmm. Could go off in life and then go alone and hear God saying, I want you to build this, and here's how you do it. Out of that adversity, where I took that detour for years, came the instruction of the Holy Spirit that led me into a release of something that changed the course of our life with a mm-hmm. career that we never intended to have. Mm-hmm. So this issue of adversity, we all have it. Our nation is in adversity right now.
That's right.
But you know, it really comes back to this issue of wisdom. You know, we who are Christians wonder, how in the world can our nation be in this shape, and how can people believe what they believe? But you remember, Scripture says that because they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Mm-hmm. And a reprobate mind is something you cannot reason with.
Yeah.
And when we understand that truth, we can go from up in arms and wanting to fight against this to realize that we can't fight against someone we can't reason with. Mm-hmm. And we bring ourselves back to praying and asking God, what shall we do?
Yeah.
And we hear the words of Jesus who said, the harvest is ripe. Mm-hmm. Pray for laborers
yeah.
for the harvest.
Yeah.
And so we go from wondering, what do we do and how do we pray, and knowing that Paul said, when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit can pray through you, pray mm-hmm. the will of God.
Yeah.
But praying specifically, purposely, in faith, that God will send laborers to the harvest.
Yeah.
I don't know who the laborer is for our president or Congress. I know that I've not been put in that position, but I know that somebody is in a position to go see them or come across their path and be a disciple of Christ, leading someone to Christ.
Yeah.
Someone led Billy Graham to Christ, remember.
Uh-huh.
Someone led you. Someone led me.
Yeah.
Someone can lead anybody that's on the face of the earth now to Christ.
Yeah.
So my prayer is to pray for laborers who can go to the harvest, who can reach that person I can't reason with, if you will.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, I agree. I'm praying for a nation to turn back to God and millions to come yeah. to know Jesus. And, you know, I believe yeah. there's a lot of people that may be listening today that have great adversity, but there is a people group, I believe, that that you are familiar with that is having great adversity, and that is the people in the marketplace, the businessmen and women, because how can people that have been called to different places in the world to gather the world harvest, how can they go unless they're sent? And if they're sent, how can they go unless there are finances to support that? And I know there's people like you that have great business skills, and God is blessing because you're givers and because you're involved in the harvest. And it just came out of your spirit that you are certainly involved in the end time harvest. And so I know there's a lot of business people that have great adversity. You know, they start in business, they fail, they have a God idea, they have a divine appointment, divine connection, and then something happens, and adversity comes, and they feel like giving up. They can't make it. Their business is on the decline instead of increasing. And so I just believe today, Ken Brummett, as the CEO of a business that is prospering and is being blessed, I believe you could say a special prayer for my friends and those that are listening today here on BPN Radio concerning their business. And however you want to instruct, however you want to pray, I'll let you do that. I'll put on some prayer music and let you pray or share whatever you want to share, particularly for this one people group today. I know there's a lot of people having adversity, but I just feel in my spirit that you as a business person, a man of the marketplace, you've gone through a lot of adversity, and you can, I believe, pray the prayer of faith for those that are listening to the broadcast today.
All right. You know, we have been through that, the adversity. At one point, a billion-dollar company came to us because of something that we had brought to market. And over a period of time, they took advantage of our company due to a weakness in my own nature. I didn't think that anybody could compliment me in such a way that I would let my guard down. Mm-hmm. I began puffed up in my own wisdom and my own business skills, and they did take advantage of us. But out of that, where they stripped our company, we met and people were saying, you need to file bankruptcy for your company. And I said, I'll take that under consideration. But as I got alone and I listened to the Holy Spirit, I really believed that I heard him say that he would guide us out. And at that time, yeah, we had a manufacturing plant with people, with families who were depending on us for their paychecks. We had vendors. We had salesmen that deserved their commissions. And so I said, we are going to tighten our belt, and we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring us out of this. And over a period of 4 years after that, though Deborah and I didn't take a paycheck every time at first, our company came back as the Holy Spirit guided us into new markets and into ways that we hadn't done business before. So we were finished in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God, we were in a business that he put us in, and he knew a way out of the adversity that we created, or mm-hmm. I created. Mm-hmm. So at every point in your life, whether things are going well or things are not going well, it's a time when you can get along with God, you can hear the Holy Spirit, and out of your time that you've spent in Scripture, he will bring up the truth. And he will say, in essence, this is the way.
Yeah.
Walk ye in it. Yeah. And there were times when I didn't know anything but this step. But as I approach that from the standpoint that all I need to know is this step here, and he'll make the next step clear. And as we did that, he brought us out and healed our company. And, you know, he forgave me when I repented. And that's one thing that people need to understand, regardless of what they've done. And when they turn back to God and they repent, God forgives them. Mm-hmm. And there's the hardest part.
Yeah.
You have to come to the point where you realize God forgave me.
Yeah.
Now I have to forgive myself. So this applies not just to the best of times, but the worst of times. And the worst of times can become the best of times.
I agree.
So you spend time in the Word, building that foundation for mm-hmm. truth mm-hmm. and wisdom in your life, which includes understanding and knowledge. And then you go to the Lord and you listen, and he guides you step by step. You don't have to know how to get to the next mountain peak. You have to know how to go back down this mountain and cross that divide and go back up the next mountain step by mm-hmm. step.
Yeah.
So the Bible tells us that we can have it if we'll ask for it in faith. And so we pray and we ask. You know, Scripture says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. And he that comes to God must believe that he is,
mm-hmm.
he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
So we come to God in prayer, which we're going to do right now. We come to God in prayer, believing that he is. We're not praying to nothing. We're praying to God who is all.
Yeah.
And we believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And since he said, if you lack wisdom, ask me, and I will give you liberally.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't upbraid you. Just ask in faith and believe. So let's pray that prayer.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that you are that you're not someone far off that we can't get to know, that you knew us before we were born, while we were still in our mother's womb. Before then, you intended that we be created. And so you've known us from the beginning, and you've known the purpose that you built us for. It's a purpose that's in the Spirit. It's a purpose that we can know. It's a purpose that we can walk into as wisdom comes to life in our life. So we come now and we ask you for wisdom, the giver of all wisdom. We come with the fear of God, the pursuit of you, Father, asking you to give us your wisdom. We ask you in the person of the Holy Spirit to birth it in us, cause it to come alive in us. And because you said if we will ask in faith, you will answer yes. Every good gift comes down from you, Father. Every good gift from you. And it doesn't come through any kind of subtlety that we can't understand. You give good gifts. Every good gift, every perfect gift, every excellent gift comes from you. When we ask you for wisdom, you say yes and amen, so be it. So we thank you, Father, that you can give us wisdom and that you give it to us right now so that we can walk out from this day forward, from this moment forward, into our next moment and this day and our next hour and our next evening and this day and this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives, that your wisdom will operate in us. We thank you for that, Father, for you are that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you very much, Ken Brummett, for being on the broadcast today. And wow, talking about wisdom, I want to encourage everybody to go and get your wisdom blogs and your wisdom for daily life. I know they would be tremendously blessed. Once again, that email address for Ken Brummett is Ken Brummett, KenBrummett @gmail.com. Ken, thanks for being my friend, and thanks for being on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dale. We love you and appreciate you and Gene more than you know.
God bless you and Deborah as you continue on. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dale. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
Thou with me, Lord, Thou my for you. Be my rescue. Find me and bring me out alive.